Christian Crusaders extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
This universe did not come into existence by chance. It was a purposeful creation of God Almighty. That's what we're going to talk about in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God, you who art the creator of heaven and earth, we stand before you in awe. When we see the majesty of this universe, we are not able to comprehend your power and strength. And yet, O God, we are amazed that you who have created at all know each one of us, that you're vitally concerned about us, and that the crowning work of your creation is a human being. Lord, as we study your word today, grant that your Holy Spirit may teach us. For it is in your name we pray. Amen. The sermon today is the third in a series of 10 messages entitled Basic Teachings of the Christian Faith. Today we talk about God the Creator. Many of us in our churches confess every Sunday morning, I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Where do we get this from? Listen to these words as they are recorded in the first chapter of Genesis, beginning with verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creation that moves along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
He's got the whole world in his hands. 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 He's got the wind and the rain in his hands. He's got the wind and the rain in his hands. He's got the wind and the rain in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.
He's got the tiny little baby in his hands. He's got the tiny little baby in his hands. He's got the tiny little baby in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands. He's got everybody in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Oh, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world.
Friends in Christ. Last Sunday, as we discussed some of the teachings of the Christian faith, we talked about God as being our Father. That was one of the ways that our Lord Jesus Christ presented him to the people of his day. And now in this sermon, I am referring to him, as Scripture teaches so clearly, as God the Creator. In our churches on Sunday morning, we sometimes confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, and there we say, "And I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth." Where does this come from? The very first verse, the first chapter in your Bible. And there you read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." How he did it is not told in detail. It simply says he did it. And we've had a lot of controversy in society as to how he did it. Have been some real arguments as far as science and religion is concerned. But let it suffice today to say that the Word of God says that he created this world and all that is in it. That should be enough, shouldn't it? And then God permits us to try to figure out how he did it, but it won't be until we see him face to face that we will have the final detail. There will always be some mystery behind it. This universe is too great for the human mind to comprehend. But should that be so difficult for us to simply say that we have a heavenly Father who has created this universe? And then plead ignorance as to how he did it? That doesn't mean that we can't try to find out a little bit along the way, and probably we should. I recall one evening I was eating dinner late. The children had departed for different places, and My wife was somewhere in the house, but I wasn't sure where. Our neighbor came in, and I sat there eating a dessert. She said to me, "That looks so good." And I said, "Vera, you have to have a piece of it." So I got up and cut her a piece of the dessert and poured her a cup of coffee, and we sat and visited together. "My," she said, "this is delicious. Did Eunice make it?" "Eunice is my wife." And I said, "I'm sure she did." "Do you know how she made it?" And I said, "I don't have the foggiest idea. I realize that in this dessert there are some strawberries, there's some whipped cream, and I imagine there's some sugar." But about that time, my wife appeared, and she said, "Oh, could I have the recipe for this dessert?" And that's where I bowed out as these ladies talked about how my wife made that dessert. Isn't that pretty much the way that we have to look at this universe? God is a creator. How he did it, that is not yet known in full detail. But it is also interesting to notice that this universe did not come into existence by chance. It was the purposeful creation of Almighty God. Now then, when it's all done, according to the scriptures, you hear this astounding truth. "Now then," God said, "let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all creatures that move along the ground." In other words, the crowning work of God's creation is a human being. That to me is an astounding thing, and it tells me that in God's eyes, we who are humans are precious and important. The Bible says that we are created in the image of God, the imago Dei, the Latin term that was once used. What does it mean to be created in the image of God, the imago Dei? Well, certainly we know that it is not a physical likeness. Jesus made that very clear as he stood there talking to the woman at the Samaritan well. He said to her, "God is a spirit. God does not have a body." You sometimes say concerning a child, "She is the spitting image of her mother." No, we can't say that as far as a human being is concerned with God. It means something different than that. It means that some of the characteristics that are found in God in a very, very small way are found in the human being. For example, God has a mind. We have a mind. God is the all-knowing. Our mind is not very well developed. You could be ever so brilliant, you could have the highest of IQs, and yet there would be so much that you couldn't understand. And yet you could have so little as far as intelligence is concerned, and yet you have a mind. That's why God says, "Because I give you a mind, I'm going to let you rule the universe. And you can be the ruler over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the livestock and over all the earth and over all creatures and move along the ground." This is God who has given us this mind. We are able to think. And that means that we are responsible people. Another characteristic of the image of God is that we have a will. God has a will, a perfect will. Ours is a broken, fallen will. But nevertheless, we are able to make decisions. We are not a puppet. We do not just simply have to come to attention every time God speaks. He could have made us that way, but he didn't. I am a free person to say no to God, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit and more next week. So I am a mind, and I am a will, and I have a spirit. Listen again. This is found in the second chapter of Genesis. The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. In other words, he became a soul. That soul, or spirit, is immortal. It will never die. Now, the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes says that the day is going to come that the body will return to the dust from whence it came, but the spirit will return to God who gave it. When no longer the spirit dwells within us, then we are dead. Sometimes, and I preached on this not long ago, we sort of live like we're here forever. But when you get to be my age, you see that that's not going to be. When you pick up the newspaper and you read, so-and-so just died, and he's a person with whom you have done so many things in life, you soon begin to understand that this life is not very long. And when you and I realize that the Bible says, and practical experience bears it out, that we have 3 years and 10, and by reason of strength, 80 years, and then that's the end. That is not very long. But we are not simply here for 80 years and whatever it may be. We are eternal. That is, our souls, our spirits are immortal. You see, we are the crowning work of God's creation. No other part of the creation is eternal except a human being. Now, the Bible also makes it very clear, and I'm going to spend more time on that next week in this series of sermons. The Bible makes it very clear that we have been given the right to say no to God. That is, we can become the rebellious ones. Isn't that exactly what Adam and Eve did? When the tempter came, they followed him, and God had said, "Thou shalt not eat of that tree." But they decided, well, we know better than God, and we're going to do what we want to do. We are not puppets again, friend. Isn't that something we can say no to God? And we do many, many, many times every day. Now, you would have thought that God would have said, "Those rebellious kids that I have created, I'm going to do away with them. I'm going to start all over again. I'm going to create a person that doesn't have a will that can say no to me." But he didn't do that. Rather, he said, "I will provide a way that they can be brought back into a living, personal relationship with me." And so he set up his plan of redemption. He sent into this world the Lord Jesus Christ, who on the cross of Calvary died for the sins of the world, paid the price for all the sins that you and I have committed, that in faith, when we receive him, we are brought back into a personal relationship with God. For God sees us through the person of Jesus Christ, with all of our sins taken away, and we are his forever. We are the crowning work of his creation. He goes on to say, "I created you to live in fellowship with you and to use you as my ambassadors. There is a passage of Scripture in the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians, verse 12, where he says, "We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. God makes his appeal through us." Isn't it interesting that God has created us to serve him? And the primary service is that we are to go into this world when we know Jesus Christ as our Savior and talk to other people about his saving work. That's what he has asked us to do. He makes his appeal to this world through us. We never save anybody. God does all the saving. But he has said to us, here's the gospel. Now you take that gospel and you go and just tell it. Like I'm telling it here over the radio today, that God loves you and in Jesus Christ he has died for your sins. And if by the grace of God and in faith you will receive him, your sins are forgiven and you are restored into fellowship with God. That's the gospel. All I am doing here is I'm a means. To use Paul's terminology, I'm an ambassador. When you take this and you go to somebody else, one as close as your child or as far away as someone you have barely met, and tell them the story of Jesus, you are doing what God has told you to do. We are the crowning work of God's creation. And when you stop and think of it, how, friend, can you have an inferiority complex? Obviously, you can say that I'm a sinner and that we truly are, that we are not worthy, that we are very limited people, but we are the crowning work of God's creation. He gave us a will whereby we could say even no. And when we said no to him, he gave us his son to die for us. And when we have been restored into fellowship with him, he says, now go out and tell the good news. Tell it. Tell it. So it comes down to this. And I would urge you to put this into the innermost parts of your soul. In God's eyes, I, a human being, are precious, I am precious and important to God. Not because of what I have done, but because of who I am. Created, redeemed, and used by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the God of all creation. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, when we are tempted to believe that we are nobody, help us to understand who we really are, that we have been created in your image, we have been redeemed by you, and we have been commissioned to go and tell the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know full well that within us there dwelleth no good thing, and we realize that we are weak, sinful human beings. But, O God, because you have redeemed us and called us and enabled us, we are, in your eyes, precious and important. Give us this understanding of ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. May our hearts continue to be touched by the grace of God that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported by gifts from you, our faithful listeners. Many of you have become a broadcast sponsor, sending a gift of $100. This generous gift pays for 1 week's broadcast on the station you listen to. We thank our broadcast sponsors for helping us to buy radio time on 35 stations in 13 states across the nation and on the internet around the world. Our sponsors are truly special in this important ministry. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. The Reverend Homer Larson writes the feature article for each issue. If you would like to receive this newsletter free of charge, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484 between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. You can leave a message on voicemail at any time. You will also receive letters from Pastor Larson at Easter, Christmas, and our anniversary in September. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Wanneroo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Christian Crusaders is now in our 67th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcast.